Beloved, I believe we need to take our dreams very seriously. It's very important if we're to walk intimately with the Holy Spirit, beloved, that we're open to Him speaking to us in dreams. He's a speaking God, and He still speaks to us in dreams. The message that I'm going to share with you today came to me through a dream that the Lord gave me just a few weeks ago. Before I actually share with you what the dream was and what the message is, I want to just lay a scriptural foundation, beloved, of how it is that the Lord speaks to us in dreams and why this is a scriptural way to hear from the Lord. There are some people today that believe that the Lord no longer speaks to us in dreams and visions, but beloved, that's simply not true. In the book of Joel, chapter number 2, verse number 28 and 29, Joel gives us these words. He says, "It will come about after this that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind." Of course, the Lord is speaking here. "And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will," get this now, "dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Beloved, Peter quoted this same section of scripture on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He actually tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, that he's quoting Joel. And he says to those that are watching in amazement what had happened, how the Holy Spirit had fallen on those believers in the upper room. And Kepha, Peter stands up and said, "What you're seeing is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel when he said, 'In the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour forth my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams.'" I love this section of scripture in the book of Job, chapter number 33, beloved, and verses number 14 through 18. Now, this particular section of scripture, beloved, is spoken of by one of the men that the Lord didn't rebuke. You know, many of Job's counselors, the Lord rebuked for giving him false counsel. But this particular servant, beloved, the Lord didn't rebuke. And listen what this servant said to Job. Once again, I'm reading from the book of Job, chapter number 33, the words of Elihu, beginning there in verse number 14. "Indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it." So he begins to say that the Lord speaks. He speaks once, he speaks twice, but when he's speaking, Elihu says, people don't notice. Let's continue on. In the 15th verse, how is he speaking? He says, "In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound asleep falls on men, while they slumber in their bed, then he," meaning God, "opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he might turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit, and his life from passing over into Sheol." So what this servant of God is saying here is that God is speaking to man while man is sleeping, but man is not paying attention to his dreams. Beloved, I believe we need to take our dreams very seriously. Oftentimes, it's when the soul is lingering between the material world, when he's awake and he's involved in all the affairs of life, and when he moves into the more mystical element of life, when he's sleeping, it's often in this state, beloved, that the Lord speaks. For example, think of the life of Yeshua and how that affected Yeshua's father, Joseph. Remember when Yeshua was born, and an angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. And the angel instructed Joseph to take Jesus, to take Yeshua to Egypt. He was wanting to spare, remember, Jesus' life because the king there was killing the Hebrew children. And after that king in Israel had died, again the angel spoke to Joseph. How? In a dream. And he said to Joseph, "Take him back now to Israel." And think about Paul. Paul was on his way trying to fulfill God's call in his life as a missionary. And one night, Paul had a vision of the night, a dream. And in the vision of the night, the dream, Paul saw people from Macedonia saying, "Come over here and preach the gospel to us." And Paul said he included through that vision of the night, through that dream, that the Lord was calling him to preach the gospel to the Macedonians. We also read of King David. We say in Israel, David Melech, King David. In Psalm number 16, verse 7, David says this, I will bless the Lord. I will bless Yahweh who has counseled me. Indeed, David said, my mind instructs me in the night. And so I want you to understand that hearing from the Lord, beloved, through our dreams is very, very important. Now, I always like to counsel people to be very careful because just because you've dreamed something, that doesn't necessarily mean it's from the Lord. I mean, dreams come for all types of reasons. When we're sleeping at night, our mind is processing all the different stimuli and all the different information and all the experiences that we've had during the day and during the days before that. And even sometimes we dream about things that happened to us in our life when we were children. So a lot of dreaming, beloved, is just a mental processing of experiences that we've had in life. Sometimes dreams, beloved, are the result of the enemy. Most of us understand we've had dreams that were tormenting dreams, dreams of feeling lost, dreams of feeling tormented, dreams where we were running, dreams where everything was out of control. Dreams oftentimes, beloved, come from the enemy. But sometimes, beloved, the Lord will speak to us in the night through a dream, and we need to be paying attention. And I believe when we wake up in the morning, we should ask ourselves, did I dream anything last night that was from the Lord? And whenever I feel like I've had a dream that's from the Lord, what I do, beloved, is I write it down. And I don't try to interpret it as I write it down. I just, beloved, begin to write the dream without making interpretation exactly as it happened. And as I do that, oftentimes details of the dream will begin to come back and I'll remember more of the dream. And then after I get done writing the dream, oftentimes the Lord will begin to give me interpretation. And there's been times, beloved, when I've written down a dream and I felt like surely this means nothing. But as I began to write the dream down, immediately the Holy Spirit would begin to give me revelation and show me what the dream meant. It's very important, beloved, to pay attention to your dreams at night. Remember, Joel and Peter both said, when the Lord pours forth His Spirit, one of the experiences of those whom the Spirit has been poured out on is they're going to dream dreams. He's not talking about dreaming a dream about accomplishing something. He's talking about dreaming a dream in the night. Like David said, the Lord instructs me in the night. Like the book of Job tells us in Job 33, through the counsel of Elihu, the Lord speaks to us when we're sleeping in the night. Now, I also want to say that most dreams are symbolic. In other words, we need to look to the Lord to understand what the meaning of the dream is. Remember, for example, along this same line, Kepha, Peter, when we find in the book of Acts, and he fell into a trance at night, he fell into a sleep, and in the state of sleep, this trance-like state, he had this dream, this vision of the night, where he saw this sheet being lowered, and he saw all these unkosher animals on the sheet, and then he heard a voice saying to him, Peter, take, kill and eat. And remember, he responded back and he said, Lord, I've never eaten anything unholy or unclean. And then the Lord spoke to him in the vision and he said, what the Lord calls clean, let no man call unclean. And then Peter woke up and it says he was on the roof still pondering what it meant. And immediately while he was pondering the meaning of it, Cornelius, who was a Gentile, Cornelius' servant came to Peter's house and said, come, you're supposed to preach the gospel to my master Cornelius. And then Peter said he understood the meaning of the dream, that he wasn't to consider Cornelius the Gentile as unclean, but he was to preach the gospel because up until that point, Jews had no association with Gentiles. But once again, the message came to Peter symbolically. It was in the form of these unkosher animals that he considered unclean. Similarly, we find Yeshua, Jesus, oftentimes when he spoke to people, how did he speak to them? Listen, he spoke to them in what? In parables, right? The sower went out to sow the seed, and some seed fell on rocky ground, and some seed fell on ground that immediately the crop sprouted up, but it had no root, and when the sun came, it withered. And later the disciples came and said, Lord, tell us the meaning of the parable. And Jesus began to explain it to them as he sought to understand. And so even there we see the Lord speaking symbolically. So much of the language of the Spirit, beloved, is symbolic language, and it's no different with dreams. Now, it's very important if we're to walk intimately with the Holy Spirit, beloved, that we're open to Him speaking to us in dreams. A lot of people, once again, they've taught, you know, God doesn't speak in dreams anymore. God doesn't give visions anymore. Let me tell you, beloved, the Holy Spirit's not dead, and God doesn't go to sleep when you're sleeping. He's the same God, beloved, yesterday, today, and forever. And even as He spoke to so many people in the Hebrew Bible in visions and dreams, Jacob, remember Jacob had the dream and he saw the vision of the ladder ascending from earth to heaven, and he woke up and he said, surely God is in this place. And through that dream, Jacob learned that God was with them in the affairs on earth. And over, we could quote different people. Remember, Daniel was the interpreter of dreams. Joseph in the New Testament, Paul in the New Testament, Peter in the New Testament. God has not changed. Don't let anybody rob you of the gift and experience that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a speaking God, and He still speaks to us in dreams. You see, beloved, the rock of revelation is the written Word of God. But you know, the written Word of God will not tell us sometimes specific details about our life. For example, the written Word of God, hallelujah, and you'll never hear me preach a message, Yadidim, beloved ones, that it's not rooted in the written Word of God. The written Word of God, it gives us the foundation of our faith and lays the doctrine for faith and for living. But the written Word of God doesn't tell you who to marry. It doesn't tell you what college to go to. It doesn't tell you what job to take. It doesn't tell you what house to buy. But you know what? The Lord can instruct you in all these things through dreams at night. And He's often instructed me, beloved, in this way. In fact, some of you know, I, as a Jewish person, knew nothing about Jesus, was born and raised in a Jewish community, bar mitzvahed in a conservative temple. All my friends were Jewish growing up. I knew nothing about Jesus. No one had ever witnessed to me. I never read the New Testament. And I came to faith back in 1978 as a 20-year-old. How? The Lord revealed Himself to me, beloved, in a vision of the night, in a vision at night, in a dream. And so I've been very open to the Lord speaking to me in dreams. In fact, I share many of those dreams and many of the encounters I've had with the Holy Spirit through dreams in my book that's called Awakening to Messiah, which you can order online or by calling the 800 number at the end of the broadcast, Awakening to Messiah, my personal biography. But I laid all that foundation today about dreams because I wanted to share with you, beloved, a dream that I'm very excited about, that I believe with all my heart the Lord gave me, and I believe it's for you. Let me share with you what the dream was. I found myself in this kind of a small room. The room was probably no more than 20 feet long by 10 feet wide. It was fairly dark in the room. There was a couch in the room, and as I was sitting on the couch, I found myself leaning. There was a woman next to me. I couldn't really see what she looked like, but my head was kind of leaning on her shoulder. And I felt that the symbol of that was just security. You know, David said that he had stilled his soul like a child at rest on his mama's knee. He had stilled his soul completely. And so, you know how children sometimes feel really secure with their mother when they're children. I felt that that was the meaning of that first part of the dream as I leaned my head on the lady's shoulder there. Next to the lady, beloved, there was a man. And he was sitting on the couch. I was sitting on the couch, the woman was sitting next to me, and I was just kind of at peace, leaning my head on the lady. I didn't know what she looked like. There was nothing sexual about it. It was just total security is what it represented. And then there was a man sitting on the couch. And I asked the man this particular question. I said, what do you think of Jesus? I want you to listen to that question again because it's a very strategic question that I believe that the Lord wants to use to mobilize His church to be His witness. I asked this man this specific question, what do you think of Jesus? Immediately the dream shifted and I found myself walking down a corridor. It looked, beloved, like a school hallway. And as I was walking down this corridor, somebody that I knew, somebody in our Messianic congregation was in the dream, and he said to me, I really liked the way you handled that man. He said, you were so patient with him. You know, he said, it took me 5 years to believe all your stories. So again, the next phase of the dream is I'm walking down this corridor, this hallway, And somebody that I knew said to me, I really liked the way you handled that man. You were so patient with him because it took me, he said, 5 years to believe all your stories. And I believe the meaning, beloved, of that part of the dream was that the Lord was saying that we need to be patient in witnessing with people, to people that we know. In other words, we don't just do it once. We keep on witnessing. We keep on sharing our faith and love. And we keep on, beloved, lifting up Messiah to them, even when they've rejected, beloved, for years and years and years and years. I've seen, beloved, close people come to the Lord that in my life, people that I've been in very close relationship with, and they have rejected the Lord for 10, 15, 20, even 30 years. And after rejecting the Lord for 30 years, but my continuing to witness, I saw them eventually after 30 years, hallelujah, come to the Lord. Praise His name. Now, the second dream that I had was right after this first dream. And it was because of this second dream, beloved, that I knew that the first dream that I just shared with you was from God. Because the second dream was so profound, and it was so unique, and it was so out of the ordinary, and so unlike anything that I would have ever expected or thought, I knew it was from the Lord. In the second dream, again, it was right after this, that first dream that I just shared with you, I found myself again in a room that was similar to the room that I just got done describing to you. It was a room about 20 feet long and about 10 feet wide. I was once again sitting on a couch. And in the room was a girl, she was about 22 years old, standing in the room. And I asked the girl, listen now, the same question in the dream. I asked her, what do you think of Jesus? Listen again, what do you think of Jesus? And here's what she said. She said, I know that he said a lot to the church, but he never said anything to me like about being boyfriend, girlfriend. And what I felt the Lord was telling me, beloved, was this, that a lot of people that we know, they've heard about Jesus. They've heard a little bit about what the Bible says, but they never took it personally. Remember, how does the Lord relate to us? We're called as His church the what? The bride of Messiah, the bride of Christ. And where are we going? The book of Revelation tells us we're going to what? To the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when Paul speaks about marriage on earth, what does he say? He says, I tell you a great mystery, that the marriage on earth is a shadow of the marriage that the Lord, of the relationship that the Lord has with His people. So here was this girl, and I said to her, what do you think of Jesus? And she said, I know he said a lot to the church. In other words, she heard about things that the Bible says abstractly, but she never had a personal word spoken to her, beloved, about how much Jesus loves her. That God wants us to understand him as if he loves us alone. I remember an experience that I recently witnessed of a man that said he had an afterlife experience. He died and went to heaven. And when he saw Jesus, he said it was like he just loved me. I mean, I know he loves you too. But when I met him, it was just like he loved me. All his attention was centered on me. And so this girl said, I know he said a lot to the church, but I never heard him say anything to me like about being boyfriend, girlfriend. And I believe what the Lord is telling us here, beloved Yadid, is that we need to communicate the message of Yeshua to people in a way that we're telling them how much Jesus loves them as an individual and as a person. Not just that he died for the sins of the world in an abstract way, but that he died for you individually, that he loves you and he wants to be closer to you, even though you could be with your husband or your wife. It's the most intimate type of relationship that one could ever experience on earth. And so I believe that God is calling His church and mobilizing His church, beloved, to be asking people the question, what do you think of Jesus? And by asking people that question, oftentimes we're very quickly able to quickly discern where that person is. Some people might say, well, I believe in him. Well, if a person responds, I believe in him, what that says to me is, you know what, they really don't have a personal relationship with him. They really don't know him in an intimate way. They believe in him, but you know, the scriptures says even the demons believe and tremble. Some people say, I had an instance where I asked somebody not too long ago, what do you think of Jesus a few weeks back? They said to me, well, you know, I'm kind of a historical, scientific kind of a guy. I said, well, that's fantastic because Jesus is a historical person. And the Holy Spirit will give us, beloved, the anointing to know what to say. But this strategic question that the Father gave me and He's giving you right now will enable you to quickly discern oftentimes where a person is at in their walk with the Lord. Some people will have a comment, I believe that He existed. And then, we could say something like, well, listen, if the Bible is an accurate historical source of who He is, and this is really the main historical source that we have, He could only be one of three things. He was a liar, He was a lunatic, or He's the Lord. Because the Scripture says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to God but by me. So to simply say that you believe that He was a good person, or that you believe He was a prophet, or believe He was existed, that doesn't make sense, because He either was who He said He was, the Lord, He was out of His mind, a lunatic, or He was lying. He was claiming to be somebody that He knew He wasn't. But we can challenge people then. He was either who He said He was, the Lord, He was a liar claiming to be somebody He wasn't, or He was a lunatic, He was crazy, like people in a mental institution that think they're somebody that they're not. But I want to challenge you today to read the New Testament, because your life depends on it. You'll never believe this one. Just last night, I was in a restaurant eating. It was a foreign restaurant, and the waiter came over, and I just had an affection for the waiter right away. And I asked the waiter, what do you think of Jesus? And you know what? The waiter couldn't quite understand what I was saying. He said, Jesus? I never encountered somebody in the United States that never heard of Jesus, but he didn't. And then he called over one of the other waiters that was translating for him. And then the waiter, he looked kind of puzzled. And then he came back to me with a napkin, and on the napkin, he had the word God written. And then he had an arrow pointed to Jesus' name. And he was asking me, is Jesus God? And I said, yes. I said, have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever lied? He said, yes. I said, well, Jesus died for you, for the things that you've done wrong, so you could go to heaven. And then he asked me what my name was, and I wrote down my website. But beloved, I believe today that the Lord gave me this dream to challenge you. He wants you to go out, beloved, and lift up His name. He wants you to be asking people, what do you think of Jesus? God hasn't called us, beloved, to be accepted by the world. He's called us to be His witnesses. And if we won't be His witnesses, beloved, we're going to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit's power running through our life, because the Holy Spirit is given, beloved, for power. Jesus said, go in Jerusalem and wait. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. If the only time that you're talking about Jesus, beloved, is in church, something's wrong. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time somebody came up to you and started talking to you about Jesus that was outside of the church? For many of you, it never happened. Don't be like the rest, beloved. Be like those that will shine like the stars forever and ever, because they have led many to the Lord. This is Rabbi Schneider saying shalom to you today. Be the Lord's witness. Beloved, I believe the Lord has given me the gift of breakthrough. What do I mean by breakthrough? I mean that we're going into areas where the gospel needs to be heard, where Yeshua needs to be revealed. And these ways that we're going into areas are ways oftentimes that have never been tried or done before. For example, not long ago, we had a huge billboard in the middle of New York City in Times Square, right over Good Morning America, pointing people to Jesus, directing them to a website that led them down a pathway to be able to receive Him as their Messiah. We go to places deep into Africa and preach the gospel to people that have never heard it before. We're doing creative, cutting-edge things to reach people that are not open to the truth because they have a mindset that it's not for them, but we're going in and proclaiming Yeshua in a way that they can receive it and believe it. So, beloved, there's a gift of breakthrough. I speak this because I feel the Lord literally said it to me. There's a gift of breakthrough in my life. But in order to continue to go forward and to break in and to break through, we need your financial help, because everything costs money. I mean, even the video that you're watching right now, the teaching, it costs money. So I humbly want to ask you today for your financial support. There's a link right at the bottom of the description here of this video, or you can go to our website. I want to thank you today, beloved, for being open, and just be obedient to what you feel the Holy Spirit's leading you to do. Jesus is always blessed by your obedience, and there's always a reward that comes with it.